wraparound left, and I don't think we even supposed to get any more rain. Been devastating to the folks on the coast, especially those that have been hit twice.
Oh, yes.
Can't imagine. I don't know how you do damage to damage, but that's exactly what they run into. We've got enough rain to last us for a while. And if you're wondering about the trash cans and stuff in the pew, one of our turbines has, the turbine part itself has blown off, so we have a leak in the church right now, and we'll be getting that fixed. Good to see you, though. I'm glad that you could make it. As Robert said, Tom and Mary Jean, they're out vacationing in Branson. So they're up there in the big music city other than Nashville having a good time. And we hope everything goes well with them. Those that we need to remember in prayer. Mary Jane Klutz, Calvin and Joanne DeLeo, the whole DeLeo family, really. Charlotte and Tony DePriest, Tommy Hill can be removed from our list. He's doing quite well. He's doing okay. Things have turned out really good for him.
Amen.
And we're proud of that. And the Morrises, I don't know how Michael Mueller is doing, but let's remember all of these, the rest of them, in our prayer. In Providence, places N.K.D. Hensley and Mr. and Mrs. Wesley Leathers, remember Jimmy Maker at Diversity Care in Batesville. Iris Castile, she's doing pretty good, isn't she?
Doing much better now, much better. And he's able to go out and do some of the things he wants to do too for the church there at Central Academy that he couldn't do when he needed to care for her day by day. So she's a little bit better.
So that's great. Wayne Lester Thightower has now decided to speak with the doctor about the removal of his voice box.
Yeah.
And hopefully he'll have this done in a couple of months and things will work out well with him. Was the meeting at Nesbitt?
Last week.
It was last week.
Ended Thursday. And I want to remind folks that that meeting went on and it's online. It's available for people on the internet.
Okay. If you heard that, the meeting is available online on the internet. And we had thought about a fall meeting, but from the attendance that Nesbitt had, we thought maybe that we won't try a meeting this year.
And Independence too.
And also, yeah, at Independence, it didn't work out the best, and we didn't figure that it would not put the scare of the COVID virus. Floyd Burrow was buried this last week. He and I grew up together. We were neighbors. Tom and them knew him all their life. And it's just sad to see him go. Betty's relied upon him greatly, and she's not in good health her own self. So let's remember the Brewer family in our prayers. Also, Ricky Brewer's mother passed away, and so we need to pray for them as well. And of course, we know back on October 4th, Tom Martin stopped by. He he lives in Texas. He does this every once in a while. He preached here 55 years ago, and he likes to make these trips around and look at his old congregation. We enjoyed him being here. If I can find what I'm looking for. Linda Carey did get moved. She moved in with her daughter Jill there in Arkansas. And so she's settled in now, and we're glad of that because she'll be well taken care of there. Are there any other announcements that need to be made that maybe I don't know about? If not, let's open our services with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to be here, for giving us the health that we have, that we can come and worship you, we pray, in spirit and in truth. Thank you for the blessings, Father, that you give us every day. Thank you for your Son, who not only came into the world to die upon the cross, but taught us the things that you would have us to know. We're grateful for your word, for the truth that it presents to us. And Father, we can only pray that we can live up to your word, and that we can be found acceptable in your sight when our time has come. Thank you so much for all the things that you do for us. And as we now worship you, Father, we pray that you will accept it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please, if you would, worship by song. If you turn to number 642. 642.
Sweet are the promises, kind is the word, dearer far than any message man ever heard. Good was the mind of Christ, sinless as sin. He the great example was and pattern for me.
Sermon today. 'Tis so sweet.
to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to love him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior and friend. And I know that thou art with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
Let's pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful today for the blessings that you have given us. We're especially thankful for our son Jesus who died for our sins. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank the congregation in this area, the work that it's doing. I pray that you will continue to be with each one of us. We're so thankful for the privilege that we have of living in this country, the freedom that we have. I pray that our leaders will look to thee for guidance, that we continue to worship thee without fear of persecution. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you will be with those that mentioned on the sick list today, and comfort and strength and be with them, that they can return to their health, to be thy will. Also, we ask to be with those who lost loved ones and comfort their families at this time. We ask that, dear Heavenly Father, be with each one of us throughout this service and throughout our lives, since we're yours for our sins. In Christ's name, pray. Amen.
Amen. Now, before the Lord's Supper, let's sing 588.
Tis said the feast divine, the bread, the fruit of the vine, and saints commune before the shrine in the supper of the Lord. May we the Lord discern. His bread, our only concern, we feast in faith, his coming yearn, in the supper of the Lord.
Amen.
Apostle Paul directed the brethren in Corinth to remember. In 1 Corinthians 11, beginning verse 23, for I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come.
Lord, we take the bread and rest.
back part of what we've earned to the church. Yes, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
We have 19 present with us this morning, which is good, to say the least, with all this pandemic going on. Would you please mark in your songbook 715, 715. You come, will you come? 715 for invitation song this morning. And turn back to the opening that I mentioned to you about the three songs in a row. And after marking 715, turn back to 589. To Christ be Lord, good and be true, His banner be unfurled. Study this morning is in regard to what the Bible says is a terrible thing to practice in life, and that is to tell falsehoods and lies.
The scripture speaks of people who delighted in telling lies and always represented them as people who found themselves out of sorts with the world in which they lived, because they were found out. And as a result of finding out one's lies by which a person is living, he finds an opportunity to be not what God says to be, but to be what the world itself despises. The world itself despises someone who does not tell the truth. Think about it just a moment from a practical standpoint. If we're people who do not tell the truth to one another as we are working on a roadway, perhaps it is the fact that truth is not told regarding a bridge that is needed because the ground is not level at every place, and there's a higher place and a lower place, and there's a water drop that runs through there, and as a result, the people have a need to have a bridge to be made. A bridge that elevates them to be able to go down the road without being in the water and out of the water and in the water and out of the water once again. We had a lot of things go on with us in life, but we've had people who did not always carry out the plans. Thus, there were those who set up a type of requirement for the codes in regard to the weight limit that would be on a bridge and the availability of that torque once that car comes up and hits that corner of the bridge to not cave it in. And as a result of that, there are those who come forth and they test and they see that that is in fact the right amount of weight that it will bear, and they post signs in regard to the weight limit. Most of us have come to believe that the weight limit is double that which is there posted, because there are those who come by to get just a little bit more of a weight on that bridge than they have allowed by a number. And so just a little bit more than that would still hold up, and the bridge would be strong enough to do that. But think about other things in life. Think about a promise that is made to a young lady or to a young man in marriage. I want to have you to be a part of my family, my life, for the rest of my years. Is that a true statement to be made? And what damage it does when it is not true, when it's not accurate, because this individual is set up on a way of life that is personally serving himself or herself. And as a result, they find themselves with a lot of relationships that are just as much meaningful to them as this was originally stated to be to the person whom they married. And thus the cheating on them begins. The idea of the word cheating is a concept that historically has been the concept of error and falsehood that is being practiced. Here is a falsehood that is being practiced in a cheating formation by way of the person not being honorable to the promise being made, till death do us part. It's sad that that is the case, but nevertheless it can be. And the scripture speaks regarding those who lie one to another, Colossians 3 at verse 9. And how sinful it is to be people who lie one to another and do not practice the ways that God would have them to be. Think of the king that we introduced last week regarding the young prophet who came from God to call out against the altar that was the idolater's altar at Bethel, being told by God to go to this land and call out against that altar, pronounce a curse upon that altar, so that all would be able to know that God did not approve that way of life. And to go in that land and not to remain in that land, not to eat or drink in that land, and not to return by the route that you have taken going to Bethel in that land. In 1 Kings chapter 13 and verse 18, there was a man who said, "I too," his sons telling him what had taken place there at that altar. And as a result, he said, "I too am a prophet of God." The scripture says, but he lied to him. He did not tell what was true, it was false. He was telling him that God had changed his mind, that now it was the case that he could come to his home and eat and refresh himself there and then go back along his way as he had gone back another way. The young man lost his life to a lion that came from the deep and stood by the dead young prophet. But we see where he lied unto him. We see the results of those individuals who find themselves living by and practicing a way of life by which they can lie unto others. It's amazing that in Psalm 62 and verse 4, it is noted that there are those who can delight in lies. Seeing someone believe a lie can be an idea that is thrilling to some people's minds. To recognize that they can be people who are fooled by my words that are not true and not meaningful and not to build upon, but I am glad that they have believed me. As a result of that, they delight in their lies. It is said in Revelation chapter 2 and at verse 2 that there are those who find themselves in the church, which was that Ephesus. And in Revelation 2 and at verse 2, it is noted regarding them, "I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them that are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and not, and found them to be liars." In matters of religion, it can be the case that in the church at Ephesus, just like today, there can be those who claim a certain thing is said by God, and a certain thing is recognized by God, and a certain way of life is the way of life for God, and as a result, lie about it. It cannot be the case. We've asked many people to tell us in regard to the verses that are found in the New Testament of the Bible, since we're in the day of Jesus and the day in which he teaches people what to do to be saved from sin, where is the sinner's prayer in the New Testament of the Bible? There are those who believe it and teach it with such fervor and such great zeal and such great estimation that people must believe this. Where is the sinner's prayer? The closest thing we come to it is a man named Saul of Tarsus, who found himself meeting the Lord on the road to Damascus and being told, "Go into the city and there be told what you must do." He was not told upon the road. He was told, "Go into the city and there you will be told what you must do." The story continues in Acts chapter 22 and at verse 16, Ananias, the gospel preacher, who did not want to come to meet Saul of Tarsus. But the Lord reassured him regarding, "He is a chosen man out of due season for me. Go and teach him what to do to be saved from sin." This man was in his knees in prayer. This man was basically a praying man, praying through to God, trying to do so. When Ananias arrives at his household, which he was staying, he said to him in Acts 22:16, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Now my grandfather Lawrence, my mother's dad, and his brothers all were a part of a church group that told them that this man, Saul of Tarsus, was saved on the road to Damascus. That he was stopped by the Lord, and as he fell off the horse on the ground, he was saved by that time that he did that. But he said, you know, when the gospel preacher, Brother Jeffcoat, Brother Doris Jeffcoat, came through that area, preaching an old Brush Arbor meeting. Brush Arbor meetings were set up by fixing up a series of limbs and branches and leaves on top of an area that had been set up like you would set up a post in the ground. And underneath that harvest of leaves and limbs and everything, Brush Arbor meetings were a common thing at one time out in the country. He and his brothers decided to go one night and hear what this man had to say. They didn't take their Bible that particular night, but that man quoted from the scripture. He quoted so much from the scripture about what salvation really means that they, the next morning, before they went to their work out in the fields, went over to visit their local preacher there where they were going to church and explained to him that they were disturbed on what was said last night at the Brush Arbor meeting. And what disturbed them was this verse: arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins. If he was saved on the road to Damascus, what sins did he have now he needed to have washed away? The preacher answered them in the following way. I remember the words very vividly from what my granddad said. He said to us, you are disturbed because of what you've heard over that way. If you would simply not attend any more of the services over there, this will all kind of clear out of your mind. This will straighten up, and you won't be bothered by this anymore. Just don't go back to that particular service going on. Well, they were convinced that that was the case and that was the truth, and they went back home. And as a result, going back home, they got to talking about it again the next part of the day when they began working in their fields. That man used the scripture and quoted from the scripture. And they would go back tonight and they'd take their Bibles with them. And they'd read under the coal oil lamp that was set up to post and everything so that they could see what was going on with one another. And they would sit close enough to that light to be able to see their Bible. When he quoted a verse from the Bible, they turned to it. They knew their Bible well enough to know when he talked about things in the scripture where it was located. And so they turned to those verses. And sure enough, when they came to Acts 22:16, he still had his sins with him. Because Ananias said to him, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. He had not yet had his sins removed. So he needed to do that. That idea of the sinner's prayer was not accurate. The next morning, they went back over there to visit their local preacher, who was upset at them because they had done what he's told them not to do. They went back to that meeting and they got even more disturbed now. Uncle Emmett was one of the brothers, and he said to the preacher, we're not disturbed by what we've read in the Bible. And that man over there quoted from and cited the verses in the Bible. What we're disturbed about is, what kind of reply can we make to him that will straighten him up about this? What kind of reply can we tell him that will assure him that salvation had occurred already for Saul of Tarsus? On the road, like we preach. But instead of any answer being given, he insisted once again that if they just go back to that meeting, all things were straightened up for him. It'd be okay. They found out that it, later on in that week, that when they went to the Bible study times at their church, and they brought up a subject, no matter what the subject was from the scripture about salvation, that created a big, big argument. Disturbed the church, disturbed the people, disturbed the preacher, disturbed them. So as a result, they found themselves seeking out a people who were not being disturbed by discussing the scripture. And they found themselves at the Nile Church of Christ, in which I was born by my mom and dad and taken to services there at Nile and heard the Bible being presented and the teaching being presented. And there were people who came to preach there who didn't preach the Bible, and they would be asked what verse in the Bible. Men would raise their hand and say, "Brother, would you tell us what verse in the Bible teaches that, so we can turn to it and read ourselves?" There were times where they couldn't turn to it, or they'd misrepresented that particular verse, and they needed to correct their misrepresentation of it. And as a result, they found themselves always in a church that were able to discuss matters and not become mad and angry and fussing and fighting at one another. May I call upon you today to recognize the difference between that which is called liars in Revelation 2 at 2 and that which is honorable by God in the right way. Later on in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8, he says the following: "But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers and whoremongers, sorcerers and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Notice Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. Among all the terrible situations that may occur that disturbs families and marriages of right and left are liars who shall have their part in the lake of fire and brimstone. May I call upon you today to realize that whatever you teach from the Bible, the Word of God, be sure that it is there. Be sure that it is in the context of the Scripture. When you read Genesis through the reading that you do in the book of Exodus, you'll find the patriarch time. You'll find the time of their worshiping by an altar, that they'd worship God. And as a result, they found themselves in the days of Moses going up on the mountain receiving a law of God that they told the people then to follow, as the law of God was being followed. The Mosaic law went all the way from the time of Moses to the time that Jesus Christ came. And Jesus came presenting the word of the Heavenly Father. And the difference between that old law, which was animal sacrifice, and the blood of animals, was the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for the remission of our sins. Nothing compares to His blood that was shed, and how important it is to contact that blood. Now, when Paul wrote to the Romans about that in Romans chapter 6, he reminds them, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall live any of us that have died to sin live any longer therein?" And he mentions them when they had died to sin. It was when they had been baptized into Christ and raised to walk a newness of life. They had a new life begun at that time. And they were baptized into the death of Christ, which Jesus had shed his blood in his death. They contacted the blood of Jesus, and they were made new. Paul continues on with discussing about that matter. He says, if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not be enslaved or serve sin. Yet later in Romans 8, 6 and verse 18, he says, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart. Not be thanked that they were serving sin, but that they had obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered to them. Being then made free from sin, they became the servants of righteousness. Notice how we made free from sin, and when we made free from sin, and how that righteousness now becomes a part of our daily walk of life. We walk the way that's right. We say the words that are right. We talk the way, we worship the right way, because we find ourselves honoring what God has said. There is a damaging situation I received from a group of Indians in South Dakota. Various reports. And one little boy, little girl, R-I-L-D-A, Riddle. I don't know if it's little boy or little girl. Ninth grade. Wrote the following about lies. I hate lies. Lies that cause trouble. When I look into your eyes, I see those lies. The lies that make you cry, making me want to go and hide. I can't stop your lies. I can't even hide from prying eyes. So what do? I seek the truth. I find comfort in the truth. Sure, the game is ruthless, but I have nothing left to lose. Them lies, that just ain't me. Because I know the truth will set me free. Jesus said in John 8 at verse 31, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus said, continuing in the word, we'll be made free from our sins and free from that way of life that is not honorable by God. If we find ourselves in that position, we can make a change. Even today, you can make that change along the way. Commit your faith into the Lord by being immersed into Christ. Begin that newness of life. Or you can be restored to that way of life. Once upon a time, you did that back years gone by or days gone by. And there are things that have been said and done that are not of the truth. And you can repent and pray God like Simon did in Acts chapter 8 at verse 22. Repent therefore and pray God that the thought and intent of your heart may be forgiven you. This way of life can be changed and we can return to the way of the Lord. Not by being rebaptized into that relationship with Him that we began, like we read of in Romans chapter 6, but that we're already in that relationship, and now then we have parted ways with the Lord by way of our choices, and we can be people now who can be restored to that way. And indeed we can do that. Would you come to Jesus as we stand and as we sing this song? Will you come, will you come, with your poor broken heart, burdened with sin oppressed? Lay it down at the feet of your Savior and Lord. Jesus will give you rest.
happy rest, sweet happy rest. Jesus will give you rest. Oh, why won't you come in simple trusting faith? Jesus will give you rest. Will you come? Will you come? How he pleads with you now. Fly to his loving breast. And whatever your sin or your sorrow may be, Jesus will give you rest. Oh, happy rest, sweet happy rest. Jesus will give you rest. Oh, why won't you come in simple trust and faith? Jesus will give you rest.
Please, one more. Thank you all for being here today, to say the least. We're glad that you're here. As I look on my notebook, who has the words of closing prayer today? Let's see what we do. Brother Beard, would you close us in a word of prayer, please?
Father in heaven, we're so thankful to me for this opportunity. Thank you.